One of the things that I'm mindful about every time I come to the communion table, whether as someone who officiates and serves or if I come to the table as one who is participating in communion with the community, I realize that when I come to the table, what comes over me is a sense of unworthiness to be able to come to the table. Sorry, excuse me. A sense of unworthiness to be able to come to the table. Now, in many ways, I know that you all think I'm perfect. But the reality is that, anyways, as I said, I come to the table and feel a sense of unworthiness. While coming as a person who would officiate in communion or participate in communion, I know as I come to the table, I feel frail and flawed. I feel my weaknesses. I feel the sense that somehow I'm unworthy to come to the table. And I do feel my sinfulness as I come to the table. And so, in many ways, the communion table serves as an interesting corrective for me as I come to the table. As you might imagine, as a clergy person, sometimes standing in front of 100-plus people, clergy people can get pretty full of themselves sometimes, that you all have to sit there and listen to me as long as I speak, as long as I want to speak. The reality is that for we who are clergy, we are also humbled very much by coming to the communion table. It reminds us even then of our unworthiness. When I was in seminary, I was participating in a worship class, and the worship class is a really interesting one, and I thought it was going to be a piece of cake. It was how to participate in worship or how to lead worship, and so the class was about how to serve communion. In a very practical way, it was how to serve communion or how to do a benediction or how to participate in a baptism. And I thought, wow, this class is a piece of cake. I'm just going to have to stand there and I'm not going to worry about it. So the very first time in the seminary class, I was invited to lead the communion service for what was just a few students. There was like 12 students in the class. And so I was asked to lead communion. I thought, this is a piece of cake. So I got up and I stood behind the table at San Francisco Theological Seminary and I looked out at everybody and I stood behind the table with the bread and the cup before me, and all of a sudden it just came over me that somehow I was unworthy to be standing there. And so the professor said, well, if you can, in the words of institution, lift up the bread. And so I took the plate like this and I started to lift it up. And I swear, it felt like it weighed 500 pounds. I started to try to lift it up, and I couldn't. That somehow my arms just got really weak. And I tried to lift it up, and the higher I tried to lift it up, I just felt this sense that somehow I was in the wrong place and doing the wrong thing, and I'm not sure even why I was there. And then in the class, they even had us practice how to do a benediction at the end of worship service. So he said, when you do the benediction, you know, raise up your arms and offer a blessing to the congregation. And so he said, so go ahead and try it. And I looked out of the congregation, and I started to lift my arms. And I swear, it was like there were these heavy weights on my arm because I couldn't lift them. I tried to lift them up, and they kind of, I looked pretty weak, to be honest with you. I was kind of hunched over, and my posture was horrible, and I was trying to lift up my arms, and I just couldn't do it. And ultimately, when I thought about why that was, in both circumstances, it had to do with this question that I was wrestling with, and that was, what right do I have? Who am I that I should be asked to serve communion to people who are coming to seek the presence of God? And when I offered the benediction, what I was thinking to myself was, who am I to offer a blessing upon the people of God in worship? Now, this was during the seminary years when I was really wrestling with my vocational identity and trying to figure out who I was, and how funny it was that I could not see myself offering a blessing. So in our theological discussions after the classes, he could tell that I was having a little bit of trouble, so we sat down together, and in our discussion, he said, well, the one thing that you need to know is that the power of communion or the blessing that you can offer are not dependent on the holiness of the person who delivers it, but upon God, God's self. And I was like, whew, wow, that makes me feel so much better that it doesn't depend on my holiness to make that actually work. It depends solely on God, and I am just a person who is a vessel or a vehicle of that. So then they said, well, okay, so go up and try it again. So I went up and I stood behind the table, and the same thing happened. I tried to lift the bread, and it just wouldn't go up. And I think it was because I was filled with this sense of awe and wonder in that moment, that somehow I was standing in front of the congregation, offering to the congregation a meal that had been celebrated by Christians for thousands of years, instituted by Jesus with his disciples, and carried on through centuries of the Christian church. And to know that I was asked to be a vessel or a vehicle of that, it was daunting and awe-inspiring, and I felt so unworthy. And I think that is a part of why even now when I serve communion and when I come up for communion that I feel this sense of unworthiness. And it's because it's an awe-inspiring moment to be able to come to the table and know that as you are invited to this table just as you are, you realize that the meal that you are sharing is a meal that Christians for thousands of years have shared together to seek after the presence of Christ. And to know that in that moment, Christ would make Christ's self known to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. In many ways, that is, I think, the gift that humility has for us. It reminds us that we are not God, that we come to the table unworthy in so many ways. But recognize when we come to the table, it is the gift of grace alone that invites us there. When we come to the table, we always talk about the open table, and it helps us to recognize even more fully that as unworthy as we might feel, we are called to the table to participate together in this holy meal. And so we carry on that gift of humility. And it reminds us that not only do we see ourselves as humbled before God, but realize that it is in that humility, too, that we participate in a community where we are very different from the people around us. And that as much as we are being invited to that table, we realize that others are being invited to that table, too. And that we are a part of a community that shares that gift together. And as much as we might see ourselves as being humbled before God, we also recognize also that we are humbled with one another also as well. When we come to the table, we realize that we are all coming as fellow sojourners. We are coming to experience the presence of God, each one of us from very different places, with different experiences, with different stories, with different theologies, with different ways of understanding God. But when we come together, we realize that all of those differences are bound together by the Spirit of Christ that says, come as you are. And so when we come like that, we realize in that humility that we participate together with others in a really powerful and wonderful way. That as we come to the table humbled before God and realize that God is God and we are not, that we realize also in that gift that we are called to be humble along with the rest of the community and realize that it is in that humility that we are able to participate together even though we are not all of one mind or one experience or one story or one theology or one perspective about God. But the gift of that is that we are able to, in that humility, to connect to the people who are sitting around us, who maybe do experience God in a different way and who do have a different story to share. And it is in that humility that we realize how important it is for us to be able to let our guards down enough to listen to the people who are around us, to feel their pain, to know their experience, to be able to connect to them in some way, knowing that what they have to share with us is something that would touch my heart, and it would influence my life, and it would enable me to come to experience the presence of God in a different way. Because truth be known, we realize that while we might come to the table with the sense of confidence that we somehow know our God, we realize that in the scheme of things, we know so little about God, that God is so great, and we are so finite and so fallible, and our perspectives are so limited, that we realize in humility that it is not just that we could come to the table, but that we could stand next to somebody who might help us to see God in a different way. In truth, what we know is that it is that humility that calls us before God. When we are humbled before God, we realize that we are unworthy but can come because of God's grace and God's mercy and God's love. And when we carry that humility with God into relationships, we realize that as we stand next to a person who experiences God in a different way, that we realize in that also we are coming to experience God in the diversity of who we are in that particular moment. And what we realize is how limited is our faith and our knowledge. How small we are compared to the grand scheme of the world that we live in. How much we desire to experience the fullness of God from the perspective that we share and the story that we share, but realizing that the person who's sitting right next to us, their story is very different. And their perspective is very different. And it is in humility that we can say that it is in this that we might come to understand fully the truth that is our God in this life. Now, as I describe it in this way, we think about it in the context of the Christian church. But today, like for example, we're going to go to the Muslim Association of Puget Sound. And we are going there to share a story for Japanese Americans to be able to share a story of this church and about their life. And how it is that they have experienced hardship and suffering and struggle through concentration camps of World War II. They've asked us to share that story with them. But we realize that we're going not just to share a story, we are going also to hear a story. We are going to participate with them in a way that helps them to know that we stand with them in solidarity. And that their story is important for us to receive because it's going to change the way that we understand both the life that we are living and also our God. And so we stand with Muslim persons, we stand with Jewish persons, and we hear their story and their unique experiences and say, in our humility, we know our own story, but desire to open ourselves up to the stories of others. As different as those stories might be across religious lines, what we know is when we stand in that place, we are able to receive in that a moment of grace. And receive from God a hint of God's presence that reminds us that God is there in the interaction between the three communities, the Jewish community, the Muslim community, and our church. When we were planning this event, I was talking to the person from the Islamic Center of Bothell, and he said, well, let's have the event at Blaine Memorial. And I said, you know, I would really us have the event at your church. And he said, well, our church is too small. And so we said, well, can we do it at a place where we can come to experience what is going on in your community? And so they were able to reserve the Muslim Association of Puget Sound and say, come there. And so the three communities will meet there in that moment. And for me, it was a really important thing for us to step outside of our comfort zones in this church and be able to go to a place where we are strangers and foreigners in so many ways. But realize in that moment that while we have a story to share, we also have a story to hear. That while we have an experience that is a part of our church's story and a part of your own personal story, we also know that there is a story to hear from someone else who experiences their God in a different way and come to know that in that our lives are being opened up. And that in many ways we've come to experience the presence of God in a powerful way. And so the challenge for us is to know that while we have our beliefs and while we have our experiences and feel that sense that God is with us in the midst of our life journey and experience, that we realize that God is with others in different ways. And in our humility, we say to ourselves, we want to hear the story of another. Because when we experience that story, it reminds us of God's grace and it helps us to be able to discover the presence of God even in ways where we might not fully expect to see it. That we would experience God in the Muslim tradition and we would experience it in the Jewish tradition, three Abrahamic faiths in so many ways. But suggest as well that we might come to understand and discover the presence of God in the Buddhist tradition. That we might come to experience it in communities that are very different than our own, but be able to do so in a way that reminds us that while we desire to tell our story, it's important for us to listen to the stories of others in humility. While we want to be able to say that we desire to shape others by the way that we would tell our story and our experiences of God, we also say that we are open enough to allow others to share their story with us. And in sharing that story, we know that we are being shaped in that very moment. That while we might experience the gift of God's wisdom that brings us to the beliefs that we have and the faith that we experience, we also know as well that there are others who experience it differently. And sometimes in ways that are difficult for us to accept. But when we open ourselves up in humility, we say we're thirsty and want to receive from God, however God would bring it, to receive from God a drink of living water that would enable us to experience the fullness of God's presence in that moment. And if we're really thirsty, if we're really empty, we will open ourselves up to however God would bring it. In whatever vehicle God would use to open it to us, that we would say to ourselves in humility that while we very much have strong beliefs and faith, that we also know as well that God is going to open up for us sometimes in ways that are so very unexpected, from people that we would never think that we would receive it from, that we know that God is opening up to us a hint of God's presence through those persons and through those stories and through those experiences. And my prayer is that in humility we can say we're ready to receive. That as much as we want to share, we want to open our arms and say we want to hear the stories of others. As much as we have a story to share, it's important for us to learn from others how it is that they experience God. And when we can do that, we will know that that humility, it is a gift. Because it reminds us that we are all in this journey together. And as frail and as flawed as each one of us are, when we join hands with the people who are around us, who experience life from a different place, who have a different story to share, whose beliefs might drive us crazy sometimes. At the same time, when we join hands together, what we will know is that we are better together than we are apart. And it is important for us to know that this is the gift of humility that we hear in Scripture this morning. It's the gift of humility that comes to us as we read the inserts in the worship bulletin. The two inserts that I put in there, I know the worship bulletin is starting to look like a book in lots of ways. There are two worship inserts in there this morning. The one comes from Brian McLaren, and it's a part of the appendix called 14 Precepts for a Just and Generous Church. We're going to talk about that more next Sunday, so that's actually something that I give to you as homework to read before you come. But the very first one in the 14 precepts, what is it? It's humility. It's the realization that it is in our humility that we would understand the rest of those 14 precepts, because it reminds us that we are not the center of the universe and we are not the only ones who matter in this. That what we realize in those 14 precepts is that we are, in our own humility, needing to look out not just for ourselves, but look out for others. And then the second insert that's in the worship bulletin is a continuation of the social principles of the United Methodist Church. There are three sections, I think, in today's. It's the economic, political, and world communities. And as you read those precepts, or read those parts of the social principles, my prayer is that you would also look at them through the eyes of our own humility. And realize that while we might look at these things from a certain perspective, it's important for us to open ourselves up to see it from the perspective of others. That is really what the social principles are seeking to do, is to help us to experience what we do and go through day to day in our lives from a different place. Standing from the experience of another person who's struggling and suffering and who is voiceless in this world. And that we might hear their voices, we read it in the just and generous precepts, we read it in the social principles, and it reminds us in all of the different ways that we might see those social principles living out amongst us, that we stand in a different place and come to see not just the lives of others, but come to see God in a different way as well, and what God is doing to call us to faithful living in this life. And so my prayer this day as we come to the table is that we would know that the humility that we would experience in coming to the table, it is a gift, and it is that gift that reminds us that God is great and beyond our capacity to fully understand. And so we link arms with our brothers and sisters on this journey, and we open ourselves up and say, tell me your story. Allow me to hear your experience, and show me God as you understand God. And know when we can do that, we will open up for our own selves a gift of growing faith, shaped and changed by everything that we are experiencing in this daily life. When we come with that kind of humility into our daily lives, we would experience it in just that way. And so my prayer this day is, as you come to the table, let us do so in that humility, opening ourselves up to know that we are unworthy to be at this table, but linking arms with the people who come with you and saying, we are in community together with others who desire to journey toward God and come to understand in that the gift of grace. And it is in that that we might come to understand this fullness each and every day more and more and more and more, and in that come to experience the gift of God in our lives. And so let us do that this morning as we gather together around the communion table. Grace and peace to you all. Amen.